I'm a 6'5", 250-pound guy, and I went down to 210, and I was still going up against, you know, 6'8", Hungarians that, like, eat glass for breakfast. And as soon as I just had fun, started putting sunscreen on like a normal person, that's where my confidence came back.
I was kind of losing my mind at that time in my life. And I remember being in my living room, and my mom gets on her knees and grabs my hand and says, "Sarah, life doesn't have to be this hard." And I remember, like, oh my God, finally being on something that worked. It was like, I could not believe, like, that people lived this way. Welcome to episode 11 of Success Unscripted. Today, my guest is Connor Riley, who is the VP of Customer Success at a startup called Crystal. And Crystal has this really cool product that allows you to go to anybody's LinkedIn profile, see their personality type, and view some suggestions on how to best communicate with them. So today, of course, we talk a lot about personality types. We talk about communication styles, and we talk about just what makes a person who they are. And then we meander into various topics like, where does confidence come from? Why it's important to celebrate your successes, and what it's like to live off the grid. As always, thank you for being here. I'm your host, Sarah Roberts, and you're listening to Success Unscripted. Great. Well, I'm excited to have you on today.
Me as well. Yeah. I've been looking forward to it.
So you're at Crystal.
Yep.
You just got promoted to VP of Customer Success. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Catch me on a good day.
Yeah, good day.
What does that mean? What do you do?
So I basically run everything post-sale. So my team does everything from onboarding to, I kind of call it consulting, you know, on how our products fit well with what they need and really being that business coach. So everything from onboarding to relationship building, to retention, and also I oversee the whole expansion side of our business as well. So I'm at a small scale startup based here in Nashville. That's where I live, but I've been here for 3 years, seen a bunch of different phases of the company. But yeah, think of anything. As soon as you become a customer, that's what my team handles.
Cool. So I know you've said that some of the best CSMs on your team didn't come from tech, don't have CS backgrounds. Yeah. So yeah, what do you think makes people really good at customer success?
What I really like about customer success in general is every day is new, and the skill sets you need change depending on the customer's needs. Which I've found is I want someone that is eager to learn and to grow, and is also confident. And some are more analytical, some are more personable, and they each have their strengths and weaknesses. But as long as they're adaptable, that's key in customer success, is being adaptable.
How do you evaluate that in an interview?
I find if they're real, meaning I immediately have a real conversation with someone, which I know is hard, but I find if someone can immediately let their guard down and really present me with like who they are, that's someone that is going to be great to coach. And that's someone that's going to listen and is going to learn and is also probably going to speak their mind too. Cause I don't want just a yes person. Yeah. I can usually get off a call and go, that person's a real person. Mm-hmm. And they're not putting on a facade. Usually that's someone that's fantastic to work with.
Cool. And give me a quick pitch on Crystal.
Yeah. So we use AI. I know it's like the theme of AI this year in general, but we've been doing it for like 8 years. And basically we can predict and understand someone's personality just based on their digital footprint. So there's a personality framework been around forever called DISC. It's just a way of identifying how someone, you know, behaves, how they communicate. Our biggest primary use case is for sales. We can kind of give them quick insights on how to, you know, pitch to person A versus person B. And yeah, it's a fun product and a fun company for sure.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, I just thought it was so interesting.
Yeah. There's a wow factor to it. Sometimes I wish I was just in traditional sales with Crystal, because you show it to someone and they're just like, no way, like this is crazy. I can pretty much tell in a couple seconds how someone communicates, and it's helped me dramatically in work and in life as well. So I thank Crystal for giving me that superpower, I would say.
And I thought it was really interesting, the story of why the co-founders started Crystal.
Yeah, definitely. The CEO and founder, Drew, told me this origin story of how he started Crystal. Him and his roommate in college founded a company, and they got like $1 million in funding at like 21 years old. And they scaled this company, and they literally ended up getting fired by their own board. And they had a feeling it was going that direction. And they hired a business coach. They're like, yeah, we're meeting with our board. They're just not really getting what we're saying, X, Y, and Z. And this business coach said, tell me about them, right? Tell me like what they do. What do they do for fun? How do they respond? You know, tell me about their personalities. And he basically was profiling their disc type. And he called every single thing that they were going to do and say. And hey, if you come across this way, they're going to respond this way. You don't want to do that. And it was you know, too little, too late. And they ended up obviously getting pushed out of their own company, and they were, you know, didn't know what to do with themselves, 23, sitting in like a McDonald's. And, they were like, man, I wish we had, you know, whatever this business consultant coach's name is, called Bob. They're like, I wish we had a Bob in our pockets at all times, 'cause this is so valuable. And that's when they dove into DISC and personality and built a technology that help people do this, not have to be experts on it. So
I can see just how useful that would be. And I think there's a kind of spectrum of people who just kind of do that naturally and can kind of read people. And, but I, like, I guess the, my gut reaction is also like, well, how does that conflict or not conflict with authenticity?
It's a great question. Because I've had people push back a little bit and say, well, what if, you know, my customer knows I just did this, or I just, you know, used Crystal, looked up their personality. And I'm like, you would already be trying to figure out how they would make decisions or what they value. You're already trying to do that. This is just a way of making sure you're a little bit more accurate in doing that.
Yeah. And I mean, any sales team is like using whatever tactics they can to try to get the deal across the finish line. Like that's what sales is. So
totally. And we, I mean, what's cool about DISC, I try to get away from Crystal, just the concept of DISC is it's literally used to just help communication. So I'm a D type, which is very direct, to the point, sometimes blunt, but my wife is the exact opposite of me. She's that we, not me personality. And what's interesting is on paper, we are a great team, because my skills are typically her blind spots and vice versa. So as a team, we're fantastic. But if you don't know how to communicate to that person in a way that they want to, it's irrelevant. So I've learned how to just connect a lot more effectively, but from leadership as well. You know, I have people on my team that this is how this person would prefer to be coached, and this is how this person would prefer to be coached. Right. So I view it as a life skill.
Yeah. Do you ever think about where personalities come from?
Wow, that's a really tough question. You know, it's that whole nature versus nurture, right? I think both are true. I think you can have an impact on your personality, but I don't think you can ever completely shift it. Like, I don't think you could ever be someone that grows up very risk tolerant based on your experiences and all of a sudden flip and be very, you know, risk adverse. I just don't think anyone can ever do a complete 180.
Well, unless like you have something traumatic happen, maybe.
Maybe. The things that we say on personality is if you have a very traumatic experience in your life or something completely new, like having a kid, right? Might change the way that you view the world. But I don't think it's ever going to change it a 180. I think it's going to shift a little bit for you. There's no way you make decisions with facts, analytics, logic, proof, like relentlessly. And then all of a sudden it just feels right. I don't think, you know, I don't think it could ever be that big of a shift, but I do think you can have tilts based on your experience for sure.
But back to the nature versus nurture thing, like you and your sisters presumably grew up in the same household and mm-hmm. the same environment with the same parents.
Yeah. It's a great point. Maybe I had more coaching or, you know, parenting from my dad, maybe just based on, you know, the sports gender. I played or whatever, gender probably. And maybe, you know, my mom had a bigger influence on my sisters. And so funny enough, I'm pretty much a spitting image of my dad's personality, with improvements, I would say, I would add. And, you know, my sisters, you could argue, tilt towards my mom. So I definitely think gender is a part of it, but I also think it's who nurtured me the most. I got a lot from my mom, but I was always with my dad for sport purposes and things like that, where my mom kind of took over a little bit more on my sisters.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to push you a little bit and say that I think you're trying to rationalize it more than it can be rationalized.
That's probably fair.
Because
that's probably fair.
I do think that there's something that, like, I don't know if it's tied with our souls, because that's a whole nother conversation. But like, I think there is something that's just like innate in us.
I agree. I mean, I agree.
Well, and it's tied to, like, you know, also like, how creative are you, or athletic, right? Or like Dan, his favorite thing in the entire world is hockey. And like,
oh, interesting.
And it's partly because he grew up in a hockey household and he learned to skate when he was like 3. But like, he gets into this state of flow in a way that like my college boyfriend felt when he was surfing, and the way that I feel when I'm dancing.
Got it.
And like, why was I a ballerina when I was younger, where my sister was a soccer player? Like those kinds of things. I know that's not personality, but like.
It is though. It's tied into, you're just saying.
Yeah.
It ties into you, like who you are at the core, right? And I know you said like your soul earlier. Like, I agree. I think everyone has a foundation. Where does that come from? I have no idea, right? But I do think your environment definitely has impact on it. But the floor is already there on kind of, you know, you were dealt a certain amount of cards, and you know, there's different paths you could go down with those cards. And the beauty behind personality though, is that they all have strengths and weaknesses and blind spots and areas of improvement. They all do. It's just understanding how to identify it, how to shelter your blind spots as much as you can, and how to just tweak your approach and delivery to match the person that you're talking to, because communication's hard. Like, there's so much going on in here that I'm trying to get out, which probably has errors when I'm doing that. And then for you to receive that, you know, and try to get the same meaning that I'm trying to display is really challenging. So why would I not want to try to put it in a style that you naturally prefer? And that's kind of, I don't know. That's where I, from a professional standpoint, have grown the most. And from a personal standpoint, like, all of a sudden people become a lot more accepting, in general of your ideas and thoughts and mindset and everything.
What about like the way that you relate to yourself? Is there any like work that DISC does with that, and like self-love, self-understanding, or even like catching yourself before you get to a point that like if you're really emotional and you do sometimes lash out, like being able to see like, where does that come from? Is there more that like deeper psychiatric type of insight, or is it really just like, this is how you come across, and therefore this is how to better communicate?
Yeah, I think, you know, communication starts with understanding yourself, right? And then understanding the people you're the person you're talking to. For me, because I can only speak to me, it has made me understand my tics and my frustrations. And I make jokes with myself. I'm like, I'm going to turn on the eye tonight, which is charismatic and fun and energetic. And I know to tell myself, hey, that you're being really D right now, like to yourself, like give yourself a break. Right. You know, yeah. So it's made me a lot more willing to even look inward. I would say on who I am. And I haven't asked myself the question though, where does your personality come from? That's a good one. I'm gonna have to give that one some thought, but it's made me more aware of myself.
Took this class in college. It was my senior year at Berkeley, and it was taught by a Haas professor, okay, who I just adore. And it was, what was it called? Ethics in Business or something, I think. And it was just a fascinating class, and the curriculum and the reading material and everything was just like, he had us meditate every night, and like, it was really interesting. But he taught us the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of the Enneagram?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I've found is Enneagram is really good for self-reflection.
Yeah.
But the main reason why companies tend to use DISC is it's really actionable. Yeah. Enneagram is more of the inward self-reflection side of things.
Well, I think that's why I like it.
I think you can, it's these conversations is where you grow, right? And so whatever it is, if it's Enneagram, if it's, you know, Myers-Briggs, Strengths Finders, anything that makes you reflect helps you grow. I like DISC. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy to understand. It's just four traits. You know, you have hybrids, so just take a little bit of that, a little bit of that. It's not as complex as some of the other ones.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest thing is that you've learned about yourself over the course of your career?
It's kind of ironic. It's today too, because I officially became the VP today. I've learned I have a knack for moving the goalpost, and that's not very healthy. I've learned I need to reward myself for hitting those goalposts that mm-hmm. obviously meant something to me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 6 months ago, a week ago, right. whatever that may be. If you're always changing the goalposts, I don't know when it's going to be, but you're going to get burnt out. Mm-hmm. And you know, like you said, or like we were talking about personality earlier, like I'm never going to be someone that doesn't move the goalposts. That's who I am. And every time I hit a new milestone, I'm always thinking about what's next. And I've learned I need to actually just sit in it and feel accomplished. Because if you're always chasing accomplishment, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And you're a similar person too, right? So I'm curious what your take on that is. Where you know what do you think?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I was just talking to John Johnson last week for the episode right before yours. It's not out yet.
Okay.
About the balance between ambition and contentment, and very similar concept of just like, just by the nature of like wanting to do more, to be more, there's this feeling of what I have now is not enough. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, it's so important to appreciate what you have accomplished because you worked really hard for it.
For sure.
And that was the goal that you had yesterday.
For sure.
And yeah, I mean, it's an interesting concept, and something that I actively work on, really just like opening my eyes to where I am right now. And I think that's part of it too, is practicing being present. Mm-hmm. Because one of my favorite sayings is "this too shall pass," and mm-hmm. applying that to both the good and the bad stuff. And it's a little bit easier to see like the tangible impact that time can have when you have a 2-year-old, because literally every single day she's smarter and taller and
right.
Just a different person. But yeah, once you get to a certain echelon, or you buy this house, or you have, you know, it's like, okay, well, now I want to renovate this bathroom, and now I want to, right, like, you know, and I want to be able to go on this nicer vacation. And like, I'm one of those people that I have all of these ideas, and I've like always been trying to just like hack, like, how do I get to that place where like, I never have to worry about money ever again. And I can fly mm-hmm. first class everywhere, and I can, you know, buy anything that I want, but like, I don't need anything more than what I have. I mean,
right.
Would it be nice if we could finish our basement? Yeah, it would be nice, because when we have a second one, we won't have a guest room anymore. But like, so, right. And I saw a beautiful clip on Instagram the other day of like, I mean, if you just have a roof over your head, shoes on your feet, and food in your belly, you're in like the top like 15% of the world.
Totally. Totally.
Like just that. I mean, are there people that like have way more than we do and are way more comfortable and don't have to, you know, be so frugal about things, like, and know that they're definitely going to be able to send their kids to college and pay for their tuition? Like, because right. we don't know if we'll be able to do that yet. We don't have that now. But like, right. like, look, it's like, look where we've come. And it's not just the money stuff too. And the career stuff. The career stuff's tough for me, because as an entrepreneur, it's always going to be up and down and sideways right. and left and right and diagonal. But also just like the quality of relationships that I have in my life, you know, and the life that my husband and I have built. Like, I'm so proud of us and our relationship and the way that we parent Maddie. And, but then, you know, you fuck up and then you feel like a piece of shit. And then, you know, cause you're hard on yourself and, you know, and yeah. then like, so I don't know. Now I'm just rambling, but.
Someone told me wealth is when you can go to any restaurant you want and not have to look at the price of anything. And
I mean, there are some restaurants that have like $20,000 bottles of wine. So okay,
let's maybe not go Jeff Bezos status on this, but like being able to, you know, not worry about really anything price related, within reason. And like you mentioned, right, school, right, college, or you need a car, or, you know, food, like any that to me is, if I can get to a point where I eliminate that constant question, how much does this cost?
Yeah,
that to me is picture perfect world. But again, it's what are you trading off to get there is important.
Yes.
And, you know, are you trading off your relationships to have this sort of success? You know, what does that look like? And that's the battle for me, is I'm always going to think forward on how to grow. You know, I got a goal of me and my wife's was to, you know, get a rental property and
right.
an Airbnb. We did that. This and then immediately,
your age. How old are you?
I'm 30. And we bought it when I was 28 or 29.
And you also own your house, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And
that's
then
so dope. And in Nashville too.
Yeah. And you know, I'm immediately like, I want another one, you know, like mm-hmm. immediately I was like, cool. Okay. So this worked, you know, so let's go do it again. And so if you ask me what my goalpost is now, I probably, you know, 4. But I know as soon as I get 4, I'm going to want 10, right? Yeah. Like I just know that, but I also need to sit and actually, you know, like praise the hard work and the dedication yeah. and whatever it took to get there.
Well, and when you're talking about it too, like it feels like it's kind of a game. Like there's joy in the chase too. Right. And yeah. I mean, you're an athlete. I think you can do both actually.
For sure.
You know, yeah. I think you can still keep those goalposts in mind and enjoy. And I think that's the hard part. It's like being both people at the same time and like being in the present, but also looking towards the future.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say it's the enjoyment of the chase, because I think it depends on your personality. Because my wife doesn't enjoy the chase as much as I do.
Right.
She's like, we have a good life. And you know, when I changed the goalpost, she's like, here we go again, you know, like, so a topic that I think is worth bringing up is I found personally my success has been asking how other people were successful. That's how I got my first job in finance. I didn't realize at the time, I asked someone that was like a legend in the industry. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just someone I knew's dad.
The twins' dad? Yeah, triplets.
Yeah, triplets' dad that I knew I played water polo with in college. And I called and he goes, you know, come work for me. And later I got to know him really well. He's one of the smartest people I've ever worked with. And he goes, you're going to be successful in whatever you do because you asked the questions. He's like, you remember when you called me? No one does that. It's like, you just ask real questions and you're curious and you show up prepared. They will make time for you time and time again, because you're the exact type of person that they want to help succeed. Yeah. So, and that comes with confidence. So like my suggestion to anyone is at least just have the confidence to make that phone call, and you'll be able to do it more and more and more. And that's how you're going to build your network. And
right. My pushback would be that as somebody who has confidence now most of the time, but hasn't in the past, I think you can't just say, just go have the confidence to do it. And that was going to be my question, is like, where do you get yours? And maybe that's one of those things that you were just born with. And, you know, yeah. You also happen to be a man. I've never met you in person, but you seem like you're probably pretty tall and you played water polo. How tall are you?
6'5".
Fuck off. I'm 5'3".
Yeah. Yeah. 6'5".
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah. My first girlfriend was 5'3". Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. And I have moments where I'm like, man, like, what are we doing? Right. And like, should I be here? Shouldn't I be here? This other person's way more qualified, whatever. Yeah. I found the more that I get in my head and paralysis by analysis, either shoot my shot or I don't, but you're going to drive yourself crazy if you just play out every single scenario. The more you think, the more complicated life gets sometimes.
Just don't think is Connor's advice.
Yeah, just don't think. Yeah, just. I played Division I water polo at Long Beach. We were like number 3 in the nation when I was there. And I then got injured. I had a hiatal hernia, not to get into the details, but I was throwing up like 30 times a day. It was insane. I just basically had crazy acid reflux and I lost like 45 pounds. And so I'm a 6'5", 250 pound type guy. And, you know, I went down to like 210 around. Oh. And I was still going up against, you know, 6'8" Hungarians that like eat glass for breakfast. And like my entire play style went from power to like finesse. And I lost my entire confidence. I would go and grab a ball, the water polo ball that I've grabbed a million times, and it would just like flip out of my hands. I'm also a very pale dude that gets sunburned easily. So before games, I'm putting on sunscreen and I'll put a glove on just to put sunscreen on. And I realized I was so in my head that like I was paralyzing myself.
Yep.
And as soon as I just had fun, started putting sunscreen on like a normal person and, you know, just didn't beat myself up as much.
Yeah.
That's where my confidence came back. So,
yeah. Well, and I think what you said too, like the way that you get out of it is finding that thing that you love, where you forget about that shit. And that's part of getting in the flow is like, and that's Dan when he's playing hockey. That's me when I'm dancing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of the key to it. You're just enjoying it for the sake of doing it more so than worrying about the outcome. And the other thing I would say, I was kind of brainstorming as you were talking of like, what I would say to somebody who needs to build confidence is also just be very mindful of who you surround yourself with. And are they building you up? What version of yourself are they reflecting back at you? And then also, what are you saying to yourself in the mirror? Like just being really conscious of that. Cause you can choose if you want to call yourself fat.
Which totally.
Those thoughts are going to seep through. They always do.
For sure.
But like,
When you said love, when you were like, you need to find what you love. See, what's interesting is my first thing that came to mind is you need to love yourself. And like, you need to know that like you are you and that's perfectly fine.
Yes.
And you're going to have your strengths. You're going to have your weaknesses. You're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days. And I think that's where my confidence comes from is I feel like I'm a good person. I feel like I'm a smart person. I feel like, you know, I have strengths. I know I have weaknesses. And regardless, I'm fine with all of them. You know, at the end of the day, like you mentioned, you know, 99% of the people that are going to watch this podcast probably have a decent life. And you know, well, with some nuances there, but
yeah, I mean, if you have an iPhone,
you might want two iPhones, but at least you got one. You know?
I don't want two iPhones. I don't even want an Apple Watch. The only reason I will tell you, I want an Apple Watch only because if you lose your phone, you can like ding it and find it wherever it is, because I lose my phone no less than 20 times every single fucking day. And I like, it's like, and it just, it's here we go again.
What's funny is I just got a new phone and I can't find a way to pair it right now.
Oh, because like,
I do. Yeah. And mine's for health purposes. I had like near death. Huh?
A near death.
Yeah. I haven't told you this. I had pulmonary embolisms 2 years ago, which is blood clots in your lungs. So
you didn't tell me this.
Yeah. Fluke thing. No one knows how I got it. How it was explained to me is if the clot went right, you die, yours went left. So, like if you ever hear of someone young, that's like, they just died and it's not like a car accident or anything. It's like almost always pulmonary embolisms. So I got my watch immediately after that just to keep vitals. So that's the main purpose for me. The second purpose is to find my phone and I can't. And I can't do the thing, so I can't pair it right now. So it's frustrating.
Go to the Apple Store; they'll help you.
I know.
I used to work at the Apple Store. That was my very first job.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Did I like it? That's a tough question because it was during college, and I was like, I hadn't yet figured out my medication, and I had just like transferred from UCSB to UC Berkeley and was having a really hard time making any friends and was like really depressed and anxious and suicidal. And
yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, there were things that I liked about it. Sure. I'm kind of a computer nerd. And like my dad had the very first Apple computer in 82, I want to say. And then like I had the very first Apple, what was it? iPod. When we used to have iPods, now we just have our phones.
Yeah.
And then I worked the launch of the very first iPad.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was cool. But I was kind of losing my mind at that time in my life. So
yeah,
you know.
What, I've had some experiences with anxiety, some significant experiences. What got you through, you know, in that time of your life?
Well, for me, the savior was really finding the right medication. And I ended up in the hospital on suicide watch my freshman year at UCSB because I was on the wrong medication. And then they gave me a bunch of Xanax and then like I could, and it was awful.
Sure.
It's part of the reason they wanted me to move to transfer to Berkeley. And they live in San Francisco and, you know, Berkeley's hop, skip and a jump. So,
right.
Plus it's like one of the best schools in the country. And
that's fantastic.
And I was terrified. I was terrified of going on medication again.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, actually smoking weed was helping. And I even like, I was in the dorm, but I was having a hard time in the dorm and I was feeling, you know, really dangerous. And so my dad came and he picked me up. We went back to my parents' house and I'm like on the phone with my therapist who's in Santa Barbara. And I'm like, I forgot my weed. And so she was like, tell your dad to drive you back to Berkeley and get your weed. Because it was like one of the only things keeping me sane and keeping those thoughts away. And I come in from smoking weed and I remember being in my living room and my mom gets on her knees and she's crying and grabs my hand and says, Sarah, life doesn't have to be this hard.
please just try medication again. And then I get on, I'm on Zoloft now, but at the time it was Lexapro in 2010-ish. And I remember like, oh my God, finally being on something that worked. It was like, I could not believe like that people lived this way and that they didn't have, like, my anxiety was so bad and had been since, I mean, grade school.
Like, yeah, like for sure.
Like I felt this way when I was like in third grade and just like, I used to describe it like when you're walking downstairs and you like almost miss a step and then you get that rush of adrenaline. I would get that 50 times a day just from thoughts. And like, it's not good for your body to be like having all those chemicals, and it turns off the rational part of your brain. You get into fight or flight. It was just awful. So that was the biggest thing. But then I also have other tools like, I mean, taking baths. I always say we've had this house for 3.5 years and I have not taken one shower.
Wow.
And now it's like a thing. Now I can't, you know, I'll take showers when we're traveling if there's no bath or the bath is gross or whatever. But baths and being submerged in water really heals me, and like floating. We have a hot tub outside, partially just so that I can float in it in a little floaty.
Have you done one of those submersion?
I haven't. Tanks? I wanted to, and then I kind of forgot. I'm sure they have them in Denver. They had one in San Francisco, like on Lombard, that Dan's roommate turned our best man at our wedding. And anyway, he would go to those all the time.
Interesting.
I should check that out. But yeah, there's that, and then music, singing, playing guitar, dancing. Core power was a thing for a while pre-COVID, and then art, just like anything to get me out of my head.
Yeah, and that's my wife's family is actually from NorCal. My wife grew up off-grid in Humboldt, where you're just like on 88 acres of land in the middle of nowhere. Takes like 45 minutes to get to a town. Power was all generators or solar. If you want the house to be heated, you have to chop the wood to heat the stove, to do all these things. So it was weird because the first day I was up there, I was like, dude, this is so sketchy. Like this is so sketchy. Like I just kept asking, what happens if you need an ambulance?
Right.
And they're like, well, you can't get ambulances up here. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, how would you explain where to go? Like turn right at the big rock. Like, what do you do? And so they would have to get helicoptered out. So I was like, oh my God, dude, this is so, like, how long are we here for? Like a week. And it was just weird. After a day, it was the complete opposite. And I found that I got into this like meditative state the rest of the time I was there because I was out of my head. It just takes a lot longer to do things. And it takes energy.
Interesting.
And I found the biggest thing that's helped me in my life is if the sentence starts with what if, don't worry about it.
I love that.
You know, like, because you're creating a scenario that's not real, right?
And now, I remember hearing my sister say once, like, the worst stuff that happens to you is always stuff that you never even thought of.
Right.
Like the stuff that you plan to go wrong usually doesn't go wrong. So like, why worry about it? Cause you're not going to guess it anyway.
It doesn't mean be unprepared.
And when you're physically doing stuff, you are in the present. You're not thinking about you're focusing on like, okay, making sure that I'm not chopping my hand off as I'm chopping this wood. It's so interesting because I always think like, oh, I'm so glad that I was born now, because like the luxuries that we have with like, you know, washing machines and toilets and running water and lights, like even the richest people 100 years ago didn't have the level of comfort that I do right now. But I never thought about it the way that you said, where it's like, because I don't have to work so hard to make everything work.
You fill that space.
You fill that space with thoughts, and they're not always helpful thoughts. In fact, usually they're not.
we're always naturally going to be thinking about like how to avoid danger.
Yes.
Which means you're creating danger scenarios in your head, which is putting you in fight or flight. And so if you don't have something that fills your thoughts with things like, don't cut my hand off when I'm chopping wood,
yeah,
or pulled the right amount of plants for your salad or something, mm-hmm, in your garden, you're going to be thinking of avoiding danger.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we could talk about this for like 5 years.
I'm a chatter, so.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. We got into some good stuff. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. No. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we meandered a little bit. I always feel like this, like the later parts of the episode are always more interesting. So we'll see. We'll see what I cut out.
Yeah.
All right, Connor. Well, thank you so much. I know this is, I mean, you're a busy guy, and I'm so proud of you. Congratulations on the promotion. Thanks. That's huge. VP. Thanks. I've never been a VP of anything.
Yeah. I mean, small company.
I've been a CEO though.
That's true. That's true. You have.
CEO of one.
I'm excited to see what comes of it.
Yeah.
And excited to see what this does for me in general. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see as well. So definitely stay in touch, and
for sure.
Excited to see how many Airbnbs you have in a couple of years. Thanks so much for listening to Success Unscripted. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider rating or writing a review. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss out on future episodes. I post the recorded videos on YouTube, and you can find the audio wherever you get your podcasts. My goal is to bring you stories that educate and inspire you. So if you have any thoughts, questions, feedback, or if you have someone in mind who could be a great future guest, don't hesitate to reach out. I post episodes every other Friday, so I'll see you in 2 weeks.